and all of us have the potential to obtain Buddhahood. Maybe it won't happen immediately, but in time it is possible. And it's important that in our practice we have renunciation. Without renunciation, we are not going to be able to achieve realization. It is the foundation practice, and it's what is so important. And it will give us the impetus to continue on practicing. And the renunciation will give us the right mindfulness and right awareness. And somebody who has the right mindfulness and right awareness will certainly be able to be successful in their practice. To attain Buddhahood, really, we only need three pithy instructions. Renunciation, bodhicitta, and wisdom emptiness, the great perfection view. And for those that are going to retreat, what do we practice? Just these three pithy instructions. And if we can practice these perfectly, then definitely we will attain the state of Buddhahood. Because everything we need in terms of practice is contained in these three pithy instructions. For instance, Buddha, in the first turning of the wheel, he taught renunciation. The second turning, he taught bodhicitta. And the third, he taught wisdom emptiness. And in terms of all the theory, it would take 50 years more to be able to learn all of this. However, in terms of practice, if we just really practice these three pith instructions, then really the attainment of Buddhahood is not so difficult. And in terms of renunciation, we can learn from our experiences in life. These experiences that bring us suffering bring us an understanding of renunciation. Before I started practicing Buddhism, there were all of these experiences that I had that brought me these discomforts, the sufferings of suffering, the suffering of change, and the suffering of everything composite, the suffering of all of these afflictions. And what are these afflictions? It's all of those situations where we felt discomfort or dissatisfied. All those times that people weren't able to satisfy me, and as a result, I gave rise to afflictions, or I was dissatisfied with other people. And not only did this bring oneself unhappiness and suffering, it also brought suffering and unhappiness to one's family and the people around us. And it's as a result of these emotions that it brought all of this suffering and harm to those around us. And first, in terms of our practice, we must reduce these afflictions and generate compassion. Because when we don't have compassion, when we do things, we harm the people around us. On the other hand, when we have compassion, even although we may experience hurt and unhappiness and discomfort, we won't then go and harm others as a result of this. And then when things are happening, we can practice compassion. We can have forbearance. And really, what is the hardest of all of the practices is the practice of forbearance. And why? It's because we practice compassion even although we are feeling discomfort, maybe physically or mentally. However, if we don't have the compassion and this forbearance, then what happens is when we feel the discomfort, we then project this onto other people and make them also feel unhappy or uncomfortable. And then after this, the person feels better, and they think this is how it should feel. However, what they've actually done is harmed others. And so many of these great practitioners, many of their great merits have come through the practice of forbearance. Even when people speak to them in a bad way, slander them, do all sorts of negative things, they don't become unhappy. Is it difficult? It is difficult. However, they're able to do it. If they're able to do it, are other people, other beings not also able to do it? There's the case with Buddha. And he was busy meditating under a tree. And there were some people that were really trying to make him angry, to stir him up. And no matter how much they tried, they just weren't able to. And then there was another person that came. And they told him what was happening. And he said, do my best to get a reaction out of Buddha. And he shouted at Buddha and he cursed Buddha and he said some really terrible things. And he carried on like this, standing right in front of Buddha. And he used all kinds of different means to abused Buddha verbally, and still Buddha just didn't move, and this person carried on like this until eventually they couldn't talk anymore. Their throat had become hoarse, and Buddha then eventually, after a few hours of this, said, "Are you finished? Have you finished what you have to say?" And Buddha said this full of compassion, and the person said, "I've been carrying on like this for so long, and you're still not angry? How can it be that after everything I've said to you, you're not angry?" And Buddha said, "No, I'm not angry." And he said, "May I give you an example?" And the person said, "Yes." And Buddha said, "Well, if I bring a whole bag, a huge bag of the worst type of rubbish, if I come up to you and I offer you this bag of rubbish, are you going to accept it?" And he said, "No, I'm not." And Buddha said, "Well, what do I have to do?" He said, "Well, you're just going to have to take it back with you, aren't you?" And Buddha said, "Yes, just like if you don't accept the rubbish, it's still my responsibility. Likewise as well, when you speak so much rubbish to me, so many terrible things that you say, if I don't accept them, then are they mine? Do I have to take responsibility for them? No. Just like if somebody comes up to you and offers you a whole lot of rubbish and you don't accept it, well then, who has to look after the rubbish?" Really, when we hear about this story, Buddha really had so much wisdom. Sometimes we want to do things out of kindness and compassion. However, the end result becomes that of anger or dislike. For instance, if we have a kitten or a puppy, in the beginning we really like the little kitten, the puppy, we look after it, we care for it so much, we feel so happy with it, but after a while we get really tired, or it's so much effort to feed the kitten or the puppy every day, to look after them, and sometimes we even want to chase them away. So sometimes we want to do things out of kindness, but the end result becomes that of unhappiness or anger. Look at Buddha in this situation. The person shouted at him and shouted at him and said many terrible things. However, Buddha just kept quiet, didn't say anything. Might have had some arising afflictions, however, didn't act on those afflictions, just treated those arising afflictions with forbearance. And forbearance, we are enduring some discomfort. Why is it that some people are not able to practice forbearance? Because that discomfort that they are feeling, they're unable to bear. They want to be free of this discomfort as quickly as possible and project it onto somebody else's body. It's important that we remember that the karmic result of this anger is descending down to the hells. Think about it. What would we rather forbear? A little bit of forbearance and discomfort now, or endure the sufferings of the hells? I think naturally we would rather just forbear a little bit of discomfort now. Isn't this the case? We would rather forbear, as we see, as it says in the aspiration of Samantabhadra, the result of anger is descending down to the hell realm. And if I can endure the discomfort for a couple of minutes, then it'll pass. And what is a method to enable us to do this is to view this from the point of view of compassion. And if we have profound compassion, at any time we can benefit others. And being able to maintain this compassion for others, even in the face of the scenario when other people think that we are very wrong. And Buddha really has many great, we could maybe say, teachings that can help us.